And our series of candidate interviews continues now with another candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Lowell Holtz is a candidate. He will be on the ballot on next Tuesday for the primary election. He has been a teacher, a principal, Wisconsin Principal of the Year. He has worked in rural and urban school districts for 30 years. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So what makes you the best candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction?
Well, I can't tell you exactly. I mean, I don't like to necessarily do a straight-up comparison, but I really believe I have the experience to get things done for the kids in Wisconsin. I've spent my entire life focused on my passion, which is helping kids be successful. And whether it was as a teacher, which is one of the most, by the way, enjoyable jobs, if any of your listeners are thinking about a career or a second career, you can't have more fun than being a teacher in a classroom, especially with the elementary schools. I was a third and fourth grade teacher and then became an elementary principal. And being an elementary principal was a lot of fun as well. All along the way, though, when people talk about you need to improve reading, you need to improve this, you need to improve that, we've been very successful by forming partnerships with our teachers, our parents, and collaborating and coming up with the best programs. We've had the best rural reading program in Marinette County. When they called me, they were struggling with their reading test scores and asking to come in, and we were able to turn things around by collaborating with the parents, teachers, coming back with a program that was so successful that not only did the parents and teachers nominate me for Wisconsin Principal of the Year, but the scores were so good that I ended up being the National Distinguished Principal as well. And it's not because of me. So that was why it was a hard question to start. It's not because of me. It's because of the teams that I put together that work so well together, whether it's in rural or a large urban district in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah, you talked about the fun you had as a teacher as well, though. We just concluded our last interview talking about the teacher shortage and teachers leaving the profession. How do you assess that problem in the state of Wisconsin?
Well, I've assessed it by talking with teachers. As a superintendent, we surveyed teachers and said, why are people leaving? What's the big stress? You know, what's going on? And we thought it would fall back to the traditional Act 10 stuff or the union issues. It didn't. It came to all the extra regulations that are put on them from the Department of Public Instruction that's taking them away from their classrooms. I talked with a Madison teacher just 2 weeks ago, and she said she had checklists, sometimes up to 2,000 points that she had to check each and every kindergarten student in her classroom. I talked to Milwaukee teachers, and they said they're frustrated because they spend over an hour every day of data entry, time that they used to spend focusing on what went well during that day, what didn't go well during the day, and how could they apply what they learned in their informal assessments for the next day to help the kids be successful. So I think that's my assessment. It's they're feeling overwhelmed. And when you throw in the lack of safe schools in our urban environments where teachers are getting pushed around, where they're not being supported when they send a kid to the office, and you have a recipe for teachers leaving the profession. And, you know, you can look at large urban districts, you can look at rural districts. If the teachers aren't empowered to do what they do best, which is teach, you're going to have a failing system because they're the ones where the rubber meets the road. So I've focused my entire administrative career on partnering with those teachers and giving them the time they need to work with our kids. And when you do that, it's not rocket science, but when you do that, the teachers are successful. When they're successful, our kids are successful.
You call yourself on your website the kidservative candidate. Is that how you pronounce that? Kidservative candidate. Why do you call yourself that?
I didn't want to be labeled strictly as a conservative. You know, I have very conservative values. That's true. My wife and I are very conservative. You know, we grew up in homes where we had conservative parents. But my teachers knew I was very conservative, but they're very enthusiastic and supportive of the things we did because that didn't matter. What mattered was what we do best with our kids. And that's why when I announced I was running, I had my union president from Beloit and my grievance chair standing right next to me saying, this is the person you need to get in the state office, because I'm going to be the one that's going to help our teachers get back the ability to teach, which they've been, it's slowly been eroding. You know, the time you used to be able to spend on planning and in the classroom has been going down, and it's frustrating for teachers because they have such a passion for the kids. That's how they got in the profession in the first place. They didn't come in to be, you know, administrative people that have to fill out form after form after form. Educator effectiveness is the, you know, the concept was good, but in reality, the practice, the time it takes away from our kids, amazing.
Let's take a call from Todd in Green Bay. Hi, Todd.
Hi, good morning, Joey. Good morning to your guest. My wife is a teacher, and one of the things that your guest just touched on is the amount of administrative time that a teacher spends. In other words, time taken away from teaching and spent checking boxes and filling out forms. And I can attest to the fact that that is a huge burden on teachers. And what happens too frequently is that districts are spending money to bring in these new programs that are, you know, new and improved whatever, reading programs, new and improved math programs, curriculum changes, and so on and so forth, that involve the educator having to go to seminars to learn more about things, to then follow up with forms that they need to fill out and computer-generated issues that they have to continually keep up with, and so on and so forth.
And, you know, Todd, we have just a minute before news, so I want Lowell Holt to address this. So you would get rid of all of these requirements or bureaucracy, Lowell Holt?
You know, Todd's got a good point. One of the things I focused on when I came into Beloit was teacher-driven professional development. You know, I can't be the brand new guy coming in from the outside saying, this is what you need to do to get better, especially in a huge school district. That's kind of ludicrous, because I have a perspective, certainly, but I didn't live their lives. I've been a teacher, but not a teacher in that classroom that they're in. And so we really focused on teacher-driven in-service. When we went to teacher-driven in-service, scores improved. It's, you're not reinventing the wheel. Actually, many times you're going back to the basics, but the teacher said, this is what we need to get better. What administrators need to do is learn to listen a little bit better.
Let me jump in, because we do have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. When we come back, we'll ask Lowell Holtz, our candidate for state superintendent of public instruction, what he thinks of Governor Walker's education funding proposals, and what he thinks of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos after the news. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are conducting a series of interviews with the candidates running for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. The incumbent DPI Superintendent Tony Evers faces two challengers on next week's primary ballot. Next Tuesday is the primary. The two top vote getters will advance to the April 4th spring election. We heard from one of his challengers in our last half hour, and we are talking with another during this half hour. We heard from Dodgeville School District Administrator John Humphreys in our first half hour. Now we are talking with Lowell Holtz, a teacher, a former teacher principal. He was a Wisconsin Principal of the Year. He's worked in rural and urban school districts for 30 years. And we welcome your questions for him. We have open lines. What education issue do you want to ask him about? What do you think would improve public education in Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. By the way, we will be talking with incumbent Tony Evers tomorrow morning from 7 until 7:30. Well, we have Charles on Facebook who asks, do you acknowledge that Republican-led funding cuts have jeopardized the quality of public education in the last 6 years? Do you believe these cuts are a part of a deliberate plan to force public schools to the point of crisis in order to facilitate the GOP's larger goal of privatizing and getting profits from the formerly nonprofit public schools? Well, how about that, Lowell Holtz?
That's a very loaded question. And there's a misconception out there that there is less funding in the public schools now than ever before, when in reality, as a school district superintendent that has had budgets from $8 to $9 million in small schools to $110 million in large school districts, I can tell you that the money has increased every year, except for the one when Act 10 was implemented. I do not think there's a conspiracy or plot to get rid of our public schools because they're so necessary. They're the heart and soul of many communities. And there are not enough charter, voucher, or any other kind of school to serve all of the kids in Wisconsin. That's why we really need to focus on improving all of our schools, but really zeroing in on our public schools. When our governor proposed the increase this year is pretty substantial. And I think that's because he's focusing on what he believes the taxpayers want, putting the best construction on everything. There's a balancing act. There's roads, which you hear about all the time. And there's public education, which you hear about. You know, there's all kinds of different things. But people in Wisconsin are willing to pay more for a good education for kids. They get it. They understand that. It takes money to work with children and teach them and give the teachers what they need to be able to teach the kids in the classroom. And I think that's why the proposal he put out there was, from a traditional superintendent point of view, is very generous.
Yeah, he proposed increased funding of nearly $650 million for K-12 schools. But critics say, hey, he took that away in previous budgets, and now he's giving it back in preparing for an election year.
That's not my, what I do. But what I do is look at what's available and try to put the best program, the best system in place for our kids to be successful. Because when you have failing schools, it's not the fault of the parents or the kids or the teachers or even the administrators in that school. It's the system that's set up for them to fail. Mm-hmm. When you look at I was in Beloit, for example. Our African-American population graduation rate is pushing 90%. You look at Milwaukee, it's 56%. Madison's 54%. Does that mean our African-American kids are smarter in Beloit than they are in the other cities? Absolutely not. It means we put a system in place where they could be successful. We raise the bar. The kids are successful when you give them the opportunity, when you believe in them, and when you get the community around it. It really has to be an entire effort. It can't be just one person coming in from somewhere else, whether it's Madison or D.C. or any place. You have to put the system in place that works for that community. You can't do that if you underfund everything. And I think the governor recognizes that, which is why he's, making an effort to fund it.
Yeah. What do you, Lowell Holtz, as you were the former superintendent of the Beloit School District?
Yes, Joy, I was.
So, and you just, what do you make of the achievement gap in Wisconsin? That seems to be one of your challengers or other candidates' big issue, that we have a big achievement gap between white students and students of color in Wisconsin. Do you think that's a problem? And if so, what would you do about it?
It's such a problem. Joy, you can't look into a kid's eyes when they're going into a school where, as a four-year-old, they're walking in the door, the light's on, they're excited. When they come out 10 years later, there are schools in Milwaukee where there are 0% of the kids proficient in math and reading when they graduate. Zero. We're failing a generation of kids. I know when you look at the scores, half the kids of color, we're letting down. We're turning our back on them, and it breaks my heart. And it's I know places like Madison. It's the last place in the world that wants to be considered racist. But in their backyard, the Department of Public Instruction is, like, to me, the epitome of institutionalized racism, because we've turned our back on those kids for so many years. We lose 7,000 kids a year that leave the system because it's failing. That's 56,000 kids in 8 years. That's a tremendous number of kids, and we're letting them down. They don't have the opportunity to get a job. We haven't trained them so they can learn. We haven't trained them so they can compete. We haven't taught them so they can win that piece of the American pie, you know, the dream job that they always wanted. We're failing, and we can't keep failing so many kids.
Let's have a couple of calls to get in here. Sandra in Mount Pleasant. Hi, Sandra.
Hi. I agree with you that Governor Walker is sort of just trying to give back what he took away. But also, the problem is this money comes as a stipulation that weighs heavily monetarily on teachers adhering to all his Act 10 instructions. And
yeah, what do you make of those strings attached to that money, Lowell Holtz, that they won't school districts won't get as much money if they're not adhering to the letter of the law when it comes to benefits in Act 10?
Well, the strings are attached, first of all, to the districts. The strings are not attached to the teachers. There are ways you can address those pieces of Act 10 without hitting the teachers in the pocketbook. They just need to be creative in the way they do it. Most of the districts around Wisconsin have been able to do that. Any intelligent administrator is not going to come down hard on their teachers because they can, because of Act 10. If they do that, they're going to lose their teachers. And so you need to, I mean, the best businesses in the world recognize the value of their employees. And every school district superintendent needs to get together with their school board and say, how can we address this to meet the letter of the law? Because it is the law. You know, I don't like the speed limit being 25 in front of my house. I'd like to go 45. But if I do, odds are I'm going to end up with a ticket. So the law is the law, whatever it happens to be. And it's going to change from one year to another.
Let's go. I'm sorry. Phil in Mount Horeb is with us. Hi, Phil.
Hi. I'm concerned about the voucher program from the standpoint of, I know that it takes a fixed amount of money to run a district, and if we spread those costs administratively and in other ways across a greater number of students, we'll be able to get a lower cost per student for administrative activity. Once you create a voucher system, you create many schools, each one with its own administration, and thereby multiple smaller bureaucracies. I think that the public is misled by thinking that there's a voucher program that's going to solve all problems.
Is that is there a voucher program to solve all problems, Lowell Holtz?
No, of course not. That was similar to a question before, in that there aren't enough voucher, charter, private schools to meet the needs of all our kids. The mass majority of our kids' needs are met through the public school. Now, am I worried about competition? No. If you're a successful school district, you don't have to worry about it at all. That means when parents send their kids to the Lutheran school or the Catholic school, it's because they want their kids to get a Lutheran or Catholic education. I support the parents' rights to do that. However, I also believe firmly that we have to have a strong community school. And if it's successful, people aren't going to leave. If it's failing, that's why the voucher program started in the first place, because they recognized that it was a failing system. And Howard Fuller, who was the ex-MPS superintendent, said, in his perspective, it's a civil rights issue because we're forcing kids of color to go to failing schools. There are successful schools in Milwaukee. Some of the schools are the best in the nation. Some of them are our public schools, and some of them are our private schools, you know, like the St. Anthony's, the St. Marcus's. And they don't get as much in vouchers as the public school does. And if you got 2 minutes.
I want to make sure I get in questions, sure, that I said I would. You tweeted your support for Secretary Betsy DeVos following her confirmation. You said that her intellect and leadership will serve this nation well. What's your response to those who say she doesn't have the experience to lead the U.S. Department of Education?
Well, It's what she's going to do administratively. I believe she's going to do less requirements of the states, let us keep more of our money in our states. And does she need to be a principal? Does she need to be a superintendent, have that experience? No, not at that level. At this level, at the state superintendent level, I think it's extremely important because you're working with all those groups. She's working at a different level where, you know, I talked to somebody that worked for her in the past, and I trust him, and he said she's very compassionate about kids, and that's the most important thing to me, because we can disagree politically on all kinds of things, but if we can focus on what's best for our kids are going to be successful. They don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. They care whether you care about them and their success.
You get the last 30 seconds to leave a final message with our listeners.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that everybody knows how important it is that we need to do something to turn around the failing schools in Wisconsin. We can't keep turning our back on generations of kids of color. We're not that kind of state. We need to do better than that. Our kids deserve better than that, and I would like to lead that charge.
Thank you very much for being with us. Lowell Holtz is a candidate for State Superintendent of Public Instruction. We'll conclude our series of interviews with the candidates running in the primary tomorrow during this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.